Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to the Boss's Desk, where we look out for you, give me the best in geek news and movie reviews. I'm your host for the day, the Big Boss, and I'm here with the one and only Professor.
What's happening? What's going on?
What's going on, man?
Yeah, a little bit of everything. A little bit of everything.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so we got our geek news of the week, and want to go through a little bit of that and, you know, see what's going on out in movie land.
Works for me. Real quick, though, I'm going to give a quick shout-out to our man, the boss, for a brand-new badass logo we got on the Boss's Desk page.
Ha-ha, yeah, you know, I do what I can.
Good stuff, my brother, good stuff.
I do it for the people. Oh, man, and with that, let's go ahead and dig on in.
Which, just so y'all know, come February will change because it's also going to have a costume on the left-hand side of the logo for a certain movie that's coming out.
The logo is definitely getting changed when Black Panther comes out. That's a good idea.
You didn't think of that already?
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Oh, we're gonna do that. Yeah, that's happening. So look for it, February. All right, let's dig right in. So right, coming off a good weekend, we'll take a look at the I don't know how good you would call it, but we'll look at the weekend box office results.
Not good for one movie, that's for sure.
Yeah. Definitely. Right off the bat, I'm not even really surprised that Coco took the top. Disney Pixar is always killing it. They always churn out hits. So they actually won out the weekend at the top spot with $50 million. We got Justice League coming out in second place there with 41 total for the weekend. Third up there is Wonder, followed by Thor Ragnarok, and ending out the whole box office actuals with Daddy's Home 2 with $13 million. So what are your thoughts, man?
Well, I don't know if I said it last week. I know I said it to somebody, but I kind of thought Coco was going to end up beating Justice League out for the weekend. And, you know, it's a holiday weekend. It's a Pixar movie. Everybody's kids are around. They're going to take them to see the movie, you know, for the holiday weekend. I just kind of knew that was going to happen. But
yeah, man.
I mean, that is less than half of what Justice League made opening week. Ooh. They made, what, 93, 94 opening week? 41 yeah, they doesn't even half of that.
Yeah.
That's just that. I mean, that whether you like the movie or you didn't like the movie, you can't not call that a box office bomb, because it is when it comes right down to it.
Right, right.
That's, you know, my math isn't great, but that's $130 million in 2 weeks for a movie that was supposed to do up to $120 on the first weekend.
Yeah, that's yeah. That's not good at all.
I'm not really
surprised. Like, I feel like maybe we need to give it like some time to go international and see what happens.
Well, it opened international already, I think, and I thought it did very well internationally. But I mean, I'd have to look it up real quick to make sure. But you know, this is the movie they've been banking on. This is their Avengers when it comes right.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, and the Avengers when it came out, $200 million in the first weekend.
Yep.
This is barely half of that in 2 weekends. Whether it's, you know, the critics who are getting out ahead of the release and telling people it's a terrible movie not to go see it, or whether it's the fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me crowd that's just not even giving Justice League a chance because of the previous movies, you know, whether it's all Snyder related. Because Wonder Woman did great. Did better than a lot of other movies.
Right, right.
But this is just, it's not good. That number's not going to go up just because it's the holiday weekend. Doesn't mean people are going to start going to see Justice League this weekend and the weekend after. I mean, you're, what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks away from Star Wars? Those numbers aren't going to go up now.
Yeah, that's pretty much
not going to happen.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, they were banking on this being their big moneymaker, and it's, you know, it was what, $900 million or something to make, and they've barely made $130 at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think total gross right now was up to $171 million. It dropped like over 50% between last weekend and this weekend as far as sales are concerned. And
Brutal.
yeah, it's just, I mean, like, and you gotta consider, like, a lot of these movies that are out right now that are up in the top five are showcasing in less theaters than Justice League right now. Like,
Yeah,
so
I mean,
to see it performing like this, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. I mean, it's either one of two things. It's either people really took those reviews to heart, or they just saw the pattern and didn't want to see it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really wanted to see this movie only just to be, if nothing else, just to be a part of the conversation. And I was really hoping DC was going to pull it out, but I mean, the numbers don't lie, and then, the fact we
yeah.
just saw the movie, we saw it, we did the review, and it wasn't a well put together movie. So
It just it wasn't what they were banking on. They swung for the fences and they missed, unfortunately. So you have to wonder where it leads them going forward, because Aquaman's done, right? So that's coming out, I think, next. I think is their next movie. Does Flashpoint even still get made at this point? Or is that what they do? They cancel everything else for Flashpoint and reboot the whole thing using Flashpoint as your launching pad to do so? That probably makes the most sense to do it that way. But, they have to be kind of scrambling right now trying to figure out what's next, because, to open in the US at 93 and followed up the following week with only 41, it's not a good trend at
No,
all.
nah. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure we're gonna see it kind of coast off dramatically. Everybody's got their first ro watch in. I
Sure.
know a few people who haven't really gone to see it yet. They're actually just waiting to hear the review, so they'll probably be listening to the podcast, listening to the reviews, and then that's pretty much it. They'll make their decision based on that. A lot of people are going. They're just going on off matinee days, so it's like they're not really going to get any return on those ticket sales.
I mean, I actually spoke to someone today about it who the exact words to me were, "I'll wait for HBO."
Sheesh!
So,
Not
I
even a
mean, that means
Redbox.
not even that means this person's willing to wait like 4 months to see this movie because they've heard such bad things about it. So,
Sheesh.
look, if you're a DC fan and you enjoyed it, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But the overall consensus, pretty clearly has been that it wasn't a really well put together movie. Call me a Marvel shill, you can call me biased for Marvel, whatever, but it just wasn't a well put together movie. It wasn't terrible. I'm not saying it was terrible. It wasn't Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad was terrible. But it just wasn't, to me, it just wasn't what they needed at that point. They needed a home run, and they maybe got a single.
Yeah, pretty much, man. What I'm not surprised, like you said, I'm not surprised Coco took the lead. They came out pretty strong for their first weekend.
Yeah.
And Thor Ragnarok's obviously killing it right now, 'cause their actuals, I mean, the budget was 180. The total gross, this is like, I believe this is domestic. Thor Ragnarok has 277 million,
Yeah.
and then they have like a foreign they have foreign 513 million. So it's like it's getting close to $800 million that this movie has made over the course of time that it's been out.
It's only 6 weeks.
And when you look at the percentage dropout, like Justice League dropped over 50%. Thor, between this week and last week, dropped to 22, and that kind of makes sense because it's kind of like planing off right now. So it's
Well,
getting,
yeah, and it's not available as much anymore.
yeah. So it's like you're not going to see that much of a drop, but like some of these other films, like Daddy's Home 2, Wonder, like they're getting very steady income, and it change from week to week, and it's like you see how dramatic it is with Justice League. It's just kind of rough to kind of see this go down.
Yeah, it's kind of brutal. And maybe ultimately it was a victim of bad timing.
Oh
Maybe it
yeah.
just needed another, maybe it needed to be this week as a release or next week as a release.
Yeah. Yeah,
I know you want to try running it up against Star Wars, because you put it up against Star Wars and it's just going to get decimated. There's no
Yeah.
way Justice League is going to beat a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
But, if you Ragnarok it, put it out 2 weeks before the Star Wars movie, then you probably get two pretty heavy weekends, you know, as opposed to trying to go up against a Pixar. Like, you shouldn't, I don't think anybody should go up against a Pixar movie, because the Pixar movies have, for the most part, all been good movies, and all the kids are, it's a kids movie. It's going to make big bucks the first weekend it comes out, how it works. So, you know, putting it up against it for that second week, maybe it's just a victim of bad timing.
Could be, could be.
I don't
So,
think so, but
I mean, we were trying to be nice. We were trying to be
we'll
nice.
check. Yeah, well.
So, yeah. Too bad, so sad. Anyway. So, I mean, if we want to keep, like, let's keep talking. We'll keep talking about Justice League for a bit, because there's quite a few bits of news coming out for DC. So let's talk about that. So Justice League, they have a couple of deleted scenes that were leaked online. But you know, they had something to do. It had something to do with Cyborg. More story for Cyborg. A lot more story for Aquaman. Couple bits for well, I won't say that, because that might be a little bit of a spoiler. And if you haven't already watched the movie and you want to, I want to give you that. So we'll save that. So a couple more scenes featuring other characters within the movie. So those got leaked online, and basically one of the big things that got leaked was a Flash scene that got leaked. And this is not too much of a spoiler. Like, this is getting you prepared. And if you watch the CW show, you're watching the DC shows. And if you're interested in the DC movies, you've probably already seen the CW shows. So
Well,
we
it's not
all,
really a spoiler anyway, because it wasn't in the movie, so.
So for this leaked scene, it was basically a scene of Barry Allen's Flash, Ezra Miller, saving Iris West. We were going to be introduced to the Iris West character within the DCEU, who's was already slated to be played by Kiersey Clemons. And if you've watched Dope or you've watched Bad Neighbors 2, she's been on both of those movies. Both movies are, you know, really good. Bad Neighbors 2 was great. Dope, I loved. It's probably one of my all time. It's probably in my top, I want to say top five, top 10 films of all time. Yeah, Dope is up there. It's like an instant classic. So she's supposed to be in this, but originally they were trying to edit her out. They were basically going to edit her out, because what I heard was Flash had already lost Rick Fumiwa, who was supposed to direct Flashpoint, and him coming on, he brought Kiersey on because they both worked together in Dope. So she was going to play Iris West. Once Rick was out of the Flashpoint movie, they just assumed, well, it was the assumption that WB was going to just replace Kiersey Clemons as Iris West anyway. But so they started actually editing her out of these scenes. But since the scenes got leaked and they show her on there, it's you know, it plays to her favor, because basically it saves her a role. Whether or not she wants to continue on in this universe, who knows? But you know, she was going to be replaced, and now in these scenes she's not. So we see her play Iris West. So it was a big thing, because I got a little excerpt here from one of the movie creators, and basically it says, "I've said before, we were replacing Clemons with a digital woman in the shot. Clemons was brought on because of Fumiwa. And when he bailed, it meant WB could recast her. That's around the time the shot was cut. Now it's been leaked online with her in it. They'll probably stop all the work being done on it to replace her to stop the fan backlash." And I mean, this kind of makes sense. I mean, like, I'm just the type of person where, hey, yo, you cast somebody in it, there's no problems with scheduling. You know what I'm saying? Keep with the people who you got cast. Don't bail on them just because you lost your director. You lost your director because obviously something's falling apart over there. But don't make it worse by getting rid of your actors too. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I'm kind of glad that the scenes got leaked, because I definitely want to see Kiersey as Iris West, and I think she would make a great foil for Ezra Miller's Barry, who I have my own issues with him. But Ezra Miller as the actor for Barry Allen, I liked some of his moments. I just don't like how they carried out Flash, but he was good
Yeah.
for me. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, this is kind of interesting news in the fact that it's kind of shaping the way that a movie is unfolding. But what do you think about this? There's a couple of little blurbs there. They talked about the scenes. They talked about what scenes were cut. This one stood out to me. Were there any scenes that stood out to you?
You know, I didn't. I tried to go look for the scenes, and they didn't appear to be up anymore. So I couldn't really. I don't know if somebody pulled them down, or if I was looking in the wrong spot, or what.
Yeah.
So I don't know much about the other scenes outside of this particular one that we're talking about. I don't know necessarily that it would save her the job. It would make sense to. It would be kind of weird to kind of, you know, have these come out with her being in it, and then all of a sudden replace her. But at the same time, it doesn't necessarily always make a difference. I know, like Cheyenne Woodley for, I
Oh,
guess it was Amazing
yeah.
Spider-Man 2. You know, she was cast. She was filming parts as Mary Jane. And then they just cut her from the movie completely before, you know, it got anywhere near the end. Now, a lot of that might have been because of the backlash. People didn't really see her as, you know, a Mary Jane type character. I, being one of them in particular, I just didn't think she had the right look. Well, and nothing against Cheyenne Woodley. I haven't seen her in a whole lot to really say whether or not I like her as an actress. But my argument for Mary Jane has always been it's one of those iconic characters that really should stay as close to the comics as you can get it. And I didn't think she had the right look for that character.
Yeah.
They've kind of spun that a little bit with the new Spider-Man because it's not really Mary Jane per se, but they're calling her MJ. So at some point, you know, is she MJ as far as they're concerned from the comics? Is it a whole new character? That's that one's kind of a weird up in the air kind of thing as to what to do because they could still introduce a character named Mary Jane and, you know, call her MJ. It would be kind of silly, but they could still do it.
Right.
So I don't know how that one exactly is going to play out just yet. It looks like she's going to technically be the modern day equivalent of Mary Jane, just essentially a different character with that name, just Michelle, whatever the J comes from. That being said, it would be kind of bad on them to, you know, have these scenes out there now and then go ahead and replace her anyway.
Right.
I can't say I'd be totally surprised, but this is unfortunately another actress I don't really know much about it. I've never seen her in anything that I know of. I haven't seen Dope, and I don't remember Bad Neighbors 2. So I can't say much about her as far as her acting goes. Sounds like she's probably pretty good. You know, and I take your word on it for that kind of thing because I know you've seen the movie.
Yeah.
But this is a weird one. This is like, to me, this is more of a 50-50, you know, that they
Yeah.
could still, I mean, look, at this point, like we just said, they could completely scrap Flashpoint to begin with, wait a few months and then just reboot the whole universe. Would be silly, but they could do that at this point with the, you know, with what's happening with Justice League. But I don't know. I don't know how I feel. I mean, I would, again, I wouldn't be surprised if they did replace her, but I wouldn't be surprised if they kept her also.
I mean, it's cool to kind of hear that these scenes are out here because there's a possibility that we could get these scenes later and maybe like I've heard a lot of news saying, oh, there's not going to be a director's cut of Justice League. Oh, there is. Oh, the cinematographer says they should definitely have the scenes that Zack Snyder had in the original so that you could get the real feel of what Justice League is supposed to be. I'm interested to see it. I'm really, really willing to give it another shot if they make this cut. And if these scenes are in there, it could serve to bolster, you know, what we were lacking in the theatrical cut. You know what I'm saying? So
I'm gonna
yeah.
go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying I'm buying this. I'm buying that, you know, that Kiersey may actually hang around as a result of this. But I mean, like you said, it could be 50-50. I mean, they could reboot the universe and then make Iris whoever they want. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably lean more towards that we won't see a director's cut, mostly because it's not gonna be finished. Like the CGI and stuff for Snyder scenes more than likely isn't going to be there because
They're
when he
not going to
left,
spend
they
that
just
money.
stopped doing these pieces. Well, yeah, I mean, they're not going to spend more money on this movie at this point. They're just not going to do that. You know, I mean, why would they? They're losing money now, you know, to spend more money to finish the CGI on his pieces just to put out a Blu-ray release that's only going to go to a certain group of people. You know, not everybody's going to buy the director's cut just because it's there. I can't see them doing that at this point unless they, you know, put a version out that's not it's not complete. I mean, it's entirely possible. But moreover, I think if they're going to do something like that, they'll take the regular movie, give you the option to watch it with those scenes added, but you know, you'll go in and they'll be, you know, Superman will have his mustache, you know, that kind of stuff. So I don't know.
So next up in the DC camp, some interesting news from the director of Suicide Squad, which the professor has been very vocal of his disdain of this movie.
Awful. Just a terrible movie. Nobody's
Oh,
ever going to convince me otherwise. It's an awful
oh
movie.
man, you know, and you know what really sucks is because we both really like David Ayer. Like you loved End of Watch. I remember you raving about End of Watch.
I love Street Kings too.
No,
Street
yeah,
Kings was
Street Kings,
that
yeah.
Training
So it's like to know like this guy, and that's what got me hyped for this movie to begin with. I was like, I just came off of the high of Fury. I watched Street Kings. I had watched Training Day. Like these are all solid films. Training Day, he didn't direct, but he wrote. But
Right.
these are solid films. These are solid films from this man's mind. So I was like, oh man, we're gonna get like a gritty kind of down to earth, play with morality type of story. And it's gonna be about the characters, you know. And I just we didn't get that at all. And part of me was like, oh man, they probably just didn't allow him to really do what it is that he wanted to do. And so, you know, he's been on Twitter answering questions from fans and stuff, and Suicide Squad came up. Suicide Squad came up, and you know, somebody wanted to know why did they remove all of, you know, Jared Leto's Joker scenes. You know, there should have been more Joker, this, that, and the other. And
Oh,
basically
no, they should.
he takes to Twitter and says, he's like, believe me, I agonize over this. Yes, Joker should have been the main bad guy. Now, I'm with this because I always thought that Suicide Squad was going to be dealing with more like down to earth grounded type of villains. I always looked at
Because
them as like
what am I?
a ghost unit, like a, you know, like a black site unit. You know, they go in, they take care of stuff, and they get out. Not like dealing with heavy supernatural monstrous beings. I mean, I know that there's a possibility for that, but I really wasn't expecting that on the first time out. I was actually hoping, with as much as they showcased Joker in the on the trailers, that Joker would have been our main antagonist, but it didn't end up being that way. And you know, it we basically got. The we basically got like the apocalypse problem. You know what I'm saying? It's like you get this big superpowered crazy super big bad, and then you just in the last minutes you just make them incredibly weak and open, create an opening for the, you know, non-powerful heroes to take over. So it's like
I mean, that to me, that's always been one of the biggest mistakes of the movie is if you watch the trailers for that movie, you think it's a Joker movie.
right.
He's in every single clip for the majority of the clips in the trailers. And the majority of the scenes you see in these trailers never made the movie.
Yeah.
So you went in and he's in every advertisement. He's in every piece, you know, you pick up a magazine, it's the picture of the Joker is on the cover for Suicide Squad, you know, with them, you know, off to the side or something. And they made it seem like he was in the movie the entire time, and he's in the movie for maybe 10 minutes out of the entire 2-hour abomination that I sat through. I mean, just wasn't marketed properly as far as that was concerned. So people went, part of the reason people didn't like it was they went in thinking, okay, this is going to be great. We're going to see this new Joker, and you never see him. He's barely in the movie. So that's one thing I think that annoyed people so much. I personally didn't like Leto's Joker. I don't like the look of it. I didn't like the portrayal of it. I just didn't. I mean, maybe I have a Ledger bias. I thought Ledger was fantastic.
Right.
You know, and I went in open because I went into the movie with Ledger going, this is going to suck. Ledger, I mean, this is not the guy who should be the Joker. And then he was amazing, you know, in my opinion. He was fantastic. And it wasn't because he died. It was because he was really good as that particular character. You know, and then I go into this one thinking, I don't think this is the right guy for this role either. I'm not really looking forward to, you know, his performance, blah, blah, blah. And that one to me proved me right. I just thought he was terrible. I did not like that particular portrayal. I know people will say, well, that's kind of how he was at one point in the comics, and maybe it was, but I think the more popular and the more recognizable instances of the Joker is not your gangster Joker, your fully tattooed, grilled teeth, just weird, I don't know, a bizarre Joker. It's to me, it doesn't fit. It's hard to not say that the two best Jokers of all time are, for me anyway, Heath Ledger and Mark Hamill.
Yeah,
Mark
definitely.
Hamill's never appeared as the Joker. He's just on the voice, but he does the character so perfectly when you hear the voice that's just what it seems like to me. That clown prince, that insane, psychopath who's literally joking the entire time until he hits that switch, where he just turns into the madman, and you kind of get that glimpse of, okay, he's not really being funny anymore. And this was just a weird, to me, it was just a weird interpretation. I didn't like it, me personally. I'm okay with the fact that there was not more of the Joker in Suicide Squad personally.
I think for storytelling purposes, even regardless of whether or not you like the Joker or not, I think they should have gone with a more down-to-earth version of who the big bad was going to be, definitely.
Oh, absolutely.
Jared Leto's Joker is not my favorite. I understand in the vein of David Ayer, like his type of storytelling, that Jared Leto's Joker actually fits well into the type of narratives that he creates. But it's just like, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like all around we just kind of deserve better in this DC universe. And we're not trying to be biased in the fact that, oh, Marvel is doing it better, but I feel like we definitely deserved a lot more than we got from these characters. I mean, even though they're your headliners, people know them, they're familiar with them. It's just you still need to. It's like you made a lot of assumptions and you kind of just threw us whatever you had, like laying around. Like that's just the worst way to do it. Like you don't cook a meal and just throw it together and say, "Hey, eat this. Now pay me." Like, that's not how that works.
I will forever stand on my opinion that the best option for a Joker right now would be Tom Hiddleston. And I will stand on that because he's got the look, he's got that ability to go from just stone faced psychopath to laughing maniac in the snap of your fingers. And I think he would be absolutely perfect as that character.
I would definitely be interested to see Loki take that one on. And we got to see a little bit of it. I feel like we got to see a little bit of that side in Ragnarok too. So
A little bit, sure.
I could definitely believe that a little bit more with him seeing him in that role. So yeah, I could see that. But we got a lot of work to do as far as the DC universe is concerned. Hopefully they can bang it out, but I feel like this is that point in the roller coaster where like you're at the top and you're already, it's too late. You fully committed to
Really?
this, so you just gotta wait to the end of the
If they're at the top of their roller coaster ride, woof.
Oh man. So we'll see what we
I
get
feel
from
like
them.
the second hump on the roller coaster too high. As physics works, when you come down that first ramp, if you don't go lower on the next one, you ain't getting over it. That's kind of what I feel like happening here. So.
That's definitely what it's like. It's just rough. It's just rough. It's tough, like seeing these trailers and getting hype and get sitting into the theaters waiting for the movie to start, and it's just rough all the way through. It's just like there's no care. I can't get into it. I don't care about your characters. You don't want me to get invested. You don't want me to get invested. So, you can't expect anything else than the reactions that you've been getting with these movies that you've been putting out. It's just bad.
They need to stop relying on character names and actually write good stories. You could do that, the characters will fit into place, and everything will go really well. But they don't want. Like, look, there's nobody anywhere who can tell me that anything DC has done, including Wonder Woman, is remotely close to Winter Soldier. Because Winter Soldier is the kind of movie you could sit anybody down in front of to watch, even people who are not familiar with the comics at all. And while they will be slightly confused watching the movie, they'll understand what's going on at the end. They won't know who everybody is, but they'll understand everything that's happening. It's just, and they'll enjoy the movie. It's just such a good, well-written movie. Will keep you the entire way through. Outside of Wonder Woman, which is kind of like that till you get to the end, at least in my opinion, they don't have anything that's that good. They just don't.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's pick our spirits up a little bit. We'll talk about some Marvel.
All
I
right.
feel bad. I feel bad. Like, we do this all the time. It's like, yeah, DC sucks, but then let's talk about some Marvel to cheer us up. Like, it's rough. Like, I want to say, oh, we got two great cinematic universes, man. Let's just talk about everything today.
But
But I can't.
that's what happens, you know. I mean, everything that Marvel has made outside of a handful of movies here has been so well done that it gets you excited for the next movie. And it gets, you know, and there's people who are going to say that we're wrong and that you know, we're just Marvel fanboys, but it's truth. I mean, the majority of the people that you see talking about these movies who aren't necessarily leaning heavily one way or the other will look at it and go, the Marvel movies are the ones we're looking forward to because they're all well done. Nothing in the DC, there's not enough cohesion in the DC movies that makes it all that exciting for to look forward to the next one that's coming out. Like at this point, I've got zero interest in Aquaman. Because I know nothing about him going into the next movie, you know. Well, I mean, I know things about him, but if I'm just a casual movie fan or a casual comic book movie fan, I know nothing really about the guy going in the next movie. What is there to excite me about it? Now put out, you know, of what, five movies, you know, of the recent eras, not including Nolan's trilogy. You know, you've put out one movie that you know did well on, you know, the critic sites and Rotten Tomatoes and in the box office. The rest of them really haven't really done anything to prove that it's worth watching the rest. You know, whereas Marvel movies, and it's not just volume because there's so many more of them. It's just they've all been well written for the most part. So,
Pretty much, man.
yeah, and it sounds like a bias, but you know, it's just how it is.
Just make better movies, DC, please.
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, you can call us Marvel fanboys if you want, but you and I spent an entire 2 hours last night losing our minds over the beginning of the crossover for the DC TV shows,
Oh my
raving about
gosh.
how good the shows have been. We've never done that for the Marvel TV shows outside of maybe the Daredevil Netflix show. We've never gotten to that kind of hype over two shows while we were sitting watching them, you know, like that. So it's not that we're against DC, it's just we're against the DC movies, I guess, because the DC movies just aren't good.
Because the shows are really hitting, so, and we'll do something on that. We'll definitely do something on that after
Yeah,
this is done.
that's coming up shortly, so.
But in Marvel news, Infinity War is now getting its spread in Vanity Fair, and we're getting all kinds of news and hype coming out about Infinity War. So, I mean, Vanity Fair did this really great spread on just the Marvel Cinematic Universe as a whole and interviewed Kevin Feige, and just they took a photo shoot. We got the pictures on the blog right now of just the whole Marvel cast, like everybody in all these Marvel movies. I think the number they said, it was some crazy number of cast members.
64.
It was like, it was like 64 people all came to this photo shoot. All of these are characters that we are invested in and love. Like, I didn't realize it was that many characters, man. Like,
That's what's supposed to be in the movie is the 64 different characters. Unless it's
sheesh.
between the next two, but might be between the next two, but 64 different characters supposed to, now, look, some of them are going to be CGI characters, so the number as far as what was at the photo shoot might be a little over.
Yeah, because I saw Rocket in there and I saw Groot. So.
Right. That point, you can bring in Vin Diesel and you can bring in Bradley Cooper and say, hey, look, it's Rocket and Groot. And it is, technically. So I don't know if they do that as far as the press is concerned. I don't think I've ever seen the two of them in any of the presses, but it's a lot of characters showing up in these next two Avengers movies.
Man. And they just did a really good job at showing the camaraderie that the cast has. Like, a lot of the, like, oddly enough, like Mark Ruffalo and Vin Diesel are apparently really good friends as a result of this. And I had no idea, like, those characters that would even be in the same realm into Infinity War, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of cool to see, like, how the feel is. And I think it's poignant that, you know, there was a point in the article where it really says, like, you know, a lot of the conversation and debate has been centered on comparison of DC and Marvel universes, and they're like, yeah, what makes Marvel what it is? And it's unanimous. Everybody in that camp believes, like, yo, look, Marvel's films are what they are because we have a Kevin Feige. If
Right.
DC had a Kevin Feige, we would be having a completely different conversation right now. It would be two equal playing fields, two great stories being told. You know what I'm saying? But they have no cohesive story. They have no unified, like, single storyteller that's trying to implement this greater project of 20 films over
Right.
the course of 10 years. You know what I'm saying? They just don't have anybody like it. And it's just, it was a great piece that kind of just, like, got fans really hyped for Infinity War. You know, Kevin Feige got to talk about more about what's going on with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, what's going to be going on moving forward. They're planning on they're after even after Infinity War is done, they're planning on going even further for this. So it's
20
like,
more years.
yeah.
The next 20, it was either, it's either they have the next 20 years or the next 20 movies planned. I
20
forget
movies,
exactly
I
what it
think it
was.
said. Yeah.
That's a lot. I mean, they're only doing 3 movies a year,
Yeah.
so that's a long time going for
Yeah.
the next 20 movies. It's gonna be going for a while. And then if everything happens with Fox or some kind of merger happens with Fox, you're gonna get even more because you're gonna get a whole new set of characters they can use. So, and there's some very interesting, there's some funny pictures that came out, you know, from this whole thing, this whole meeting of bringing them all together. There's a very cool one with all of the female characters. I don't know if you saw that. That
Oh
was
yeah,
up
I
on
did see
Instagram.
that. I just saw that today.
Very cool. Didn't realize quite how many actual, you know, female characters they have in the movies. I mean, there was 12 people, 12 women in that image, something like that.
Man.
You know, a lot of strong, and it didn't have, I don't think Evangeline Lilly was in there, so that would make, you know, what, even 13 if it was 12. You know, it's interesting to see they have that. So if they're really serious about trying to put together those female movies they were talking about, like those female lead movies, you know, they were talking about maybe doing like a trilogy with like the Earth-based heroes, the space-based heroes, something like that. They really could pull it off pretty easily because they've got
Oh
enough
yeah.
characters. They don't bring people in. But there's another one that cracked me up was, it was, I guess it was Tom Hardy on his Snapchat or something. It's a, the first image is him and Hemsworth standing together. And it says, "Me and Uncle Thor waiting for my two dads." And the next image is like the camera flipped around and says, "There they are." And here comes Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. together.
Yeah,
So
that was
it's really
hilarious.
cool. Little couple quick clips. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah,
So.
that was pretty epic. So, I mean, like, I'm really excited for this, man. And then we get news that the trailer cometh on the morrow.
The greatest news I've had in weeks. Finally, the Infinity War trailer comes tomorrow. Now, there were some scenes that got leaked out this week. I don't know if you saw that. Couple very quick clips from the movie, and then there was like a minute and a half scene that actually got leaked out from the
Oh wow.
movie. And I w meant to send them to you, but by the time I went to send them to you, they were already gone.
Oh man.
They're only, it was like 4 or 5 little clips. They were maybe 10 seconds each at best. So it looked like probably clips from like a commercial trailer kind of thing.
Tag, somebody's dead. Somebody's dead.
Somebody's, the
Somebody's dead.
last clip, well, it looked like some unfinished stuff because the last piece is like a minute 30 and it's the collector's menagerie, right?
Oh man.
And you hear him in there being roughed up by Thanos. And every time you would hear Thanos speak, the screen would be black. So, excuse me. So either the CGI was still being worked on at the time, or, you know, if they knew this stuff was going to get out, they cut it out so you couldn't see what he's going to look like in the movie. Like hiccups. Like the last scene in the quick clip is the collector on his back. Clearly, something holding him down. So the idea, I think, is like Thanos' foot is on his chest, holding him down, basically asking him where the stone is. But in between all the little pieces in that same clip, they show you the Guardians sneaking up very quietly. And it's your typical, obviously a very, very typically James Gunn scene. It's Star-Lord in the front and he's walking, you know, they're all kind of creeping and Gamora's on one side of him and Drax is on the other. And they sneak up and you know, and Star-Lord stops and he puts his hand up in the fist, you know, like you see the police do when they're trying to get people to stop walking behind them.
Yeah.
And Gamora and Drax just walk right past him, you know, and he's standing there and he's going, the hand means stop. And they're just completely ignoring him and keep going. And, you know, you see Drax kind of peek around the corner and he goes, it's him, you know, starts the typical Drax, today's the day I get my revenge, blah, blah, blah. You know, when he reaches down and pulls the knives out of his boots and Gamora and Star-Lord are trying to stop him, you know, to go rushing forward. And that's kind of where the clip ends. Very cool little clip. I don't think it's up online anymore. I think it got caught and pulled down.
Yep.
But it really got me excited for the movie. And then to hear that the trailer, I thought the trailer was going to be another 2 days because the Russo brothers on their Instagram yesterday, they had a picture of a cartoon 3. And today they had a picture of a cartoon 2. So I'm thinking, all right, it's 2 days before they're going to release the trailer. And then like half an hour later, I see an article that says Infinity War trailer tomorrow. And I went, all right, I guess it's not 2 days. I guess it's tomorrow. So
I'm very
excited to see this.
Yeah, I'm sure the leakage is what accelerated the release date. But yeah,
probably.
RIP to whoever released that information.
Yeah. RIP and thank you.
You will not be forgotten. This you is are all a warrior. We wanted.
You are. This is what we wanted since we saw the first leak from the Comic-Con where we kind of saw bits and pieces of it. Now we're going to see it for real. Probably going to see a different one, I would imagine. But I can't wait. I can't wait.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's going to be great. That is going to be great. So I guess to round it all out, before we even get to what's coming out this week, kind of wanted to, you know, do a little brief discussion on a hot topic that, you know, me and the professor have been knocking around for the past couple of weeks. And it's a question of whether or not, you know, these movie review sites, these critical review sites are crushing the movie industry. We've been watching lately as, you know, a lot of the success or failure of a film kind of centers around specifically like Rotten Tomatoes scores. So how fresh is it? What's the percentage, you know, and people wait and they hang on and they wait for these reviews. I mean, you know, our review site is the best. I'm just going to put that out there. It's the best. It's hands down. You know, we keep it real with you. We tell you, you know, whether or not you want to spend your money, and there's levels to it. It's not we're going to say, hey, don't spend your money. It's like, hey, spend your money, but only spend a little bit of it. So go see a matinee or don't see this in 3D. You know what I'm saying? Give you your options so that you can make a decision on your own. But to like flat out tell you that a movie like completely sucks. No, I mean, we'll tell you that it's bad or why we didn't like it. We all give you opinions and we preface it. We preface it that it's just opinions. You know what I'm saying? Be a part of the conversation. That's why we go to the movies, so that we can talk about these things. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like a lot of these sites kind of come out with these ratings and they kind of make or break films as a result. I think it's coupled. I really feel like it's coupled with the theater industry. So it's like we have movies, but it's becoming increasingly expensive just to go to the movies now. You know what I'm saying? Right. Digital off, like regular standard offerings are far and few in between, and you get these high quality special effects, your seats need to shake type of showcasings that cost like close to $20 a ticket. And it's like, is that really necessary? I mean, if I'm waiting and I'm trying to see a movie and my final decision is going to come down to the ticket price, you know, that's going to deter me from going.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like that, the ratings quest, the thirst for ratings and the theater industry itself, I feel like it's stifling what could be a successful industry. And that's why we're not seeing the returns that we could see. So what do you think, Professor?
It's interesting to watch some of this stuff. Like Rotten Tomatoes is pretty much the industry standard at this point for critic sites that people go to try to get an idea of what a movie's going to be like, mm-hmm. you know, before they go to see it. And Rotten Tomatoes is an interesting way that they do it. It's essentially a hub for every critic that wants to put piece out. It's put up on Rotten Tomatoes. They do averages of what the scores the movies are giving them, whether they're fresh or not fresh. And they give you a percentage. The most telling thing for me of late was that Rotten Tomatoes normally has their ratings out, what, like a week before the movie comes out?
Yeah.
They've refused to put up their Justice League score until the movie came out. They didn't just do that on their own, I don't think. I would have to think Warner Brothers contacted them and said, "Hey, what do you have?" They said it's not good because it was under 50%, I think, when it got posted. So they said, "Well, you need to hold that off because we don't want you to hurt our movie." And Rotten Tomatoes said, "Okay." And they did it. And I think just that alone put people on their heels going, "Wait a minute. Why are they making a special dispensation for this movie? It must not be good." And that's, I think, what the normal person would think
Right.
if you follow the site at all. So it's a tough line to balance when we talk about it, because like you said, we do our reviews, we've seen the movie. We don't get special dispensation to go in and see the movie before it's released. We go in and see it when it's released. We come back and say, "Yeah, we liked it. Yeah, we didn't like it. Money's yours. Go spend it if you want. But this is why we think you'll like it or you won't like it." Rotten Tomatoes goes out the week before movie's even released and says, "Here's what all these critics are saying. All these critics are saying it's great. All these critics are saying it's garbage." And what we're finding more and more is these movies that all these critics are saying are garbage are tanking at the box office. And it's because people just go by the word of mouth and don't bother to go try to see it themselves. A la Justice League, a la The Mummy. Trying to think of some of the other ones that we've seen that you and I actually thought weren't bad movies, but they got crushed because they never even really had a chance.
Right.
I get the idea of wanting to do this so people know beforehand whether or not they should go to the movie. But at the same time, you're taking away the chance that some of these movies could have before they even hit the screen, that they may even have to make that money. I can't imagine that if the normal routine would be to not release the Rotten Tomato rating before the opening weekend, the Justice League probably would have done a little bit better. Because if people have to wait, either if they have to wait till the movie opens, if they're going to wait till the movie opens, then they're going to wait. There's no way around that. But if people don't know beforehand, I think more people than not are going to go, "Oh, let's just go give it a shot. We want to go to the movies. Looks like it could be pretty good. Let's go give it a shot. I don't, you know, they don't have anything up here. Let's go see what happens." But more and more people are looking at it and going, "Well, they say it sucks, so I'm not going to waste my money. I'll just wait till it comes out." You know, we have people, I have people, I know you have people who will say to us, "Well, what did you think? I'm waiting to see what you think before I make up my mind."
Yeah.
We're not Rotten Tomatoes, you know, by any stretch of the imagination yet, although we should be, but we're not yet. You know, so this is only a handful of people. Rotten Tomatoes is a well-known site, so it's got hundreds upon thousands of people hitting it every day looking for the reviews on these movies. So when you initially know it's terrible and you're on the fence already, if they're telling you it's terrible, you're just not going to go see it. You're not going to give it the chance that it needs.
Right.
As opposed to actually going, spending the money and finding out, "Oh, you know what? I actually do really like this." Like I'll admit, I didn't go see The Mummy when it was in the theater. I wanted to. It looked interesting. But I heard nothing but bad reviews before the week that it came out. And that weekend, I was kind of on the fence. Do I want to go? Do I not want to go? And I kind of went, "That sounds like it's not very good. I'm just going to stay home." And then I ended up watching it a month or two later. And I was like, "You know what? This really wasn't that bad. It was
Yeah.
actually kind of enjoyable." So it's a shame to see it happening more and more often. And I do really think it is kind of hurting the industry. And I think, like, kind of like what you said, I think the theaters are hurting themselves at the same time because part of the other reason people are going to do this is they're going to say, "Well, Rotten Tomatoes says the movie was 25% awful. I'm not paying $20 to go see a movie that's probably going to be awful."
Right.
You know, if you tell me the movie's awful and they're only going to charge me $10 to go see it, I'm more inclined to go, "Eh, it's 10 bucks. You know, what's the big deal?" $20 nowadays for people like you and I are kind of in the middle of the road. It's, you know, more than we kind of want to spend it. And I go by myself and I don't go to the concession stand, so I spend $20 and I'm done.
Right.
I know, you know, one of our old supervisors, Rich Miller, he goes, he takes his son and his son's friend, and they go. There's three tickets right off the bat, so that's instantly $60. You know, then he goes to the concession stand, and he, you know, the concession stand's a ripoff, so it's another 30 on top of that. So he spent almost $100 for three people to go to a movie that they don't like or that they, you know, might like. But, you know, that's one of those things that's even, it's, you look at it and you go, "It's a lot of money to spend on a movie that we don't even, you know, that people are saying sucks. So we're not going to do that. So it gets tougher and tougher, you know, as this stuff comes out that these sites are crushing. And the sad part is some of these sites have agendas, clearly.
Yeah.
Where no
Like they
matter
can
how the movie.
you know what I'm saying? And with that kind of sway and influence, it's like, can you really tell me like with an unbiased opinion that this movie is worth it or not worth it, you know what I'm saying? And it's like at that point, it's like what's the point? Like I don't want to hear somebody who's sponsored by whatever production company. Like no.
I mean, Rotten Tomatoes gets a lot of the blame, which is, in a sense, unfortunate because they're not the ones reviewing the movie.
Right.
They're just
They're just a,
centralizing everything.
yeah, they're an
All
aggregate.
these people over here, yeah, all these people over here are the ones who are saying they didn't like the movie. The unfortunate part is, let's say you've got 100 people who didn't like the movie. I'm going to guarantee at least 20 of those people didn't like it because they don't like DC and they prefer Marvel. Let's just use that as an example. Another, let's say 10 of those 100 people probably didn't even bother to go see the movie. They're just pretending that they did because it's just easier that way and they can get their article written without spending any money. So right away, there's, you know, 30 people out of 100. Let's say they're the only ones who say it's bad. Well, you've already given the movie a 70 for people who have agendas or who didn't even see the movie. So it's tough to succeed in that realm if there's something like, look, let's use a weird example. Had Kevin Spacey already filmed the movie this year that was released, it could be the greatest performance of his life. It could be a movie that everybody who actually sits and watches thinks is the greatest movie they've ever seen, and that, you know, that it's an Oscar-worthy performance for him if you just look at his acting and not look at the man and blah 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 blah. But you'll never know that. Because the majority of those people writing those articles are going to destroy the movie because he's in it and for the things that he's done.
Right.
So, what could potentially have been this great movie, you'll never know because you'll never go see it because he was in it. And because all these people said it's a terrible movie, it was awful, blah, 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 blah. Not because they thought it was a terrible movie, but because it was him. They're just going to cast his shadow on the movie and just say it's bad in general without even, you know, giving a second thought.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird example, I know, but that's you kind of get the idea what I'm kind of going for there.
No, I mean, 'cause I think about like even that was a hypothetical, but I mean even if you look at if you look at a movie like Birth of a Nation, when that came out, Nate Parker was centered around a whole bunch of controversy at that time. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people, like a lot of the reviews and the ratings that I was seeing on that particular movie, were like horrible. Like it was, oh, you know, it wasn't historically accurate type thing, you know, oh, the acting was horrible, was pungent, da da da. I watched the movie and I thought that the acting was incredible. I thought the storytelling was artistic and meaningful. There was purpose behind it. Regardless of whatever the controversy that was going on, the story that was being told was a narrative that I thought was a refreshing breath of air that took place in cinema. You know what I'm saying? And nobody gets an opportunity to watch that film now because critics kind of shape and mold the landscape.
Right.
And it's like when biases and when biases come in, it's just like they're not given that opportunity to showcase that work, you know? So it just sucks. It sucks.
It is. It's a shame because these movies, some of these movies are getting killed before they even have a chance to try.
Yep.
People just aren't. People would rather go by what other people say and strictly by what other people say than listen to somebody says and says, I might be wrong. I mean, I'll listen to his point, but he might be wrong, and I'm going to go check it out anyway. So, you know, you almost have to wonder if it would, if they would be better off waiting to release those reviews until the day before or the day after the movie. You know, let the movie actually release, let people actually go see it
Yeah.
before writing all these nasty reviews. It's just, you know, I can't tell you how many reviews I've read on certain movies that I really enjoyed. That you read it and you go, did you even watch the same movie? Because everything you're talking about has nothing to do with what was in that movie.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, what did my buddy say the other day? Oh, he said he was reading reviews on Rotten Tomatoes for Blade Runner. that actually had critics complaining that they didn't use Wesley Snipes again. And it's like, that's not even remotely close to the same movie. It's got the
Yeah.
same word. That's about as far as it goes. And that's the kind of thing that, and I don't know if they only take reviews from certain publications or if they'll take reviews from anybody.
Yep.
Like, I don't know if you and I write up a review, if they'll take it and put it on their site. I don't know. If they do, then you've got any number of people who could have agendas that want to make a DC movie look bad or want to make a Marvel movie look bad to try to purposely bring the numbers down, who could just write up a review that says anything, and it just gets up there. I don't know. I don't know exactly how their setup works, but that's the other part of that that you run into is that, like I said, people have agendas. They want to make certain things do better than others. They want to make certain things tank.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do believe overall, I do believe some of these sites are really doing more damage than good for some of these movies.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you're dealing with aggregate sites like it's specifically like Rotten Tomatoes, those critics that you're talking about, they're talking about Blade Runner, expecting to see Wesley Snipes reprise his role as Blade as opposed to the actual content of the movie. It's like do those reviews like pad the site and affect scores? So it's like, now does Blade Runner get a lower score because there were 25 idiots that said this out of 100? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, this like this stuff is stifling and it kills. Now, what I understand, and like this is what I say, if somebody comes out and releases a statement and says this is why we did such and such, I got to give you the benefit of the doubt because there's no proof to say otherwise. So Rotten Tomatoes postponed their release of the Justice League score because they were going to debut this new sh they're debuting they well they debuted this new show, and it's called See It or Skip It. And basically, on that show, they see tell you whether or not you should see or skip any film that's coming out that weekend, and then they present you with the Rotten Tomatoes score for those films. And they wanted to do it because Justice League was going to be the first film that they did on the show. So I got to take you at face value on that. You postponed it because you're trying to do something different. You're trying to get more involved in the reviews landscape, and you want to be able to present this in a very, interesting way to get people involved on your site. That's cool. All right. You know what I'm saying? But it's still you still got to worry about the whole aggregate nature of this device and wonder if whether or not the critic reviews that are coming in are padding things, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So yeah, man, it's just I'd be interested to see how this goes, because I remember they used to do that. They used to do that for superhero films. Superhero films used to really always get like negative reviews, especially on sites like this. Winter Soldier changed the game. And now you're seeing superhero movies kind of say, and I think it was a strong point as far as superhero films are concerned, because I feel like Winter Soldier is when superhero films for me kind of settled into an official genre. It was like, to me, there's potential, you know what I'm saying? And what the genre that they were able to tell when Winter Soldier is one that where you even if you strip the powers, even if you just made these about characters, like these characters move from one point to the end of the film and you're really involved, you know what I'm saying? And so now we're getting these ratings for superhero movies that are just kind of like off the charts. I mean, Thor Ragnarok was 92%.
Right.
92%. You know what I'm saying? I remember when the first Thor came out, it wasn't even scratch. I don't even think it was scratching 50. You know what I'm saying? I want to check that just to verify, but like I don't even think it was scratching anywhere near 50. And it's just like you see these and you watch these things happen. It's like is there bias? Is a genre developing a enough of a fan base to be respected? You know, it's just it's rough. It's rough to see where it's come from, where it is now, and you kind of hope for better things in the future, but it's just like kind of tough seeing movies get ripped to shreds and not even get an opportunity, you know?
I mean, I think one of the other things I think that they do that they do wisely If I remember, and I haven't looked at the site in a while, to be honest with you, but I think the other thing they do is they also put up a percentage for the fans' critiques side, which tends to probably be a little more accurate. Now, of course, you're going to have your fanboys are going to pump the movie up no matter what, but you're going to get more people reviewing it. You're going to get more input. I think you're going to get a better idea of what the movie's actually going to be like if you sit and look at what the fans say. So that is definitely one thing that Rotten Tomatoes does do on the good side. I just think that early release for all the critics, I think, is really doing some damage.
And I'm making a correction. I was talking about Thor: The Dark World, and that made 66%. But I feel like it
Yeah, I
was
think.
rotten when it first started out, because that's what I was seeing. Like, it was just rough the first couple of times it came out. So it's like now everything kind of looks different. But I remember most of these scores being below 60.
I wouldn't surprise me. I mean, people hated Dark World when it really when it came out. It wasn't such a good movie.
Yeah, I think out of the whole universe, that was probably my least favorite one.
I wouldn't argue with that. I would probably agree with you on that.
Yeah. But yeah, man. So it's just like, tread carefully in this critics landscape. Always come to us. That's what you do. Come to us. Come to us. Tell your friends. Tell your mama. Tell your papa. Come to the boss's desk. We look out for you. I'm
We will tell
saying.
you like it is. We'll give you the truth.
Oh, man,
So that's why I was terrible.
So to round things out today, we're gonna start this little segment up and let you know what's coming out this week. So this week we got a couple of films coming out. Some are interesting, some maybe not so. We'll let you know what we think. We got the Disaster Artist, which is starring the Franco brothers, and basically it's like a retelling of a real event. So basically, this movie that came out, there's this movie that came out. It was an indie film. I was like, it's a cult classic, but it sucked. It was horrible.
Oh, this is about the room.
Yeah, it was about
Okay.
The Room. Yeah, so. So basically, they're telling the story of how these two actors came together to make this film. And it's just like the trailers have been hilarious. And it's been getting really well received across the board. And they're talking about like awards for this film. And it's crazy because it's going to be about a film that wasn't well received at all.
The original is widely reviewed as the worst movie ever made. Like I've never seen it, but I've heard people, I know people who watch it just because it's so bad. But it is widely known to be the worst movie they have ever created. So that should be pretty interesting. I may actually jump check that one out.
So frame the narrative that way. But I'm like I can't really say that I'm not interested. I like the Franco brothers. They always give me something to enjoy on film when they come out with something. It doesn't matter what it is. So I'm game to watch this and see what it's about. I don't know if I'm so game to watch this that I really want to sit through The Room.
No, I know I don't.
But I'll definitely give this movie a look. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm definitely interested in that one. What do you think, Professor?
I've my interest has peaked. I didn't know it was about the room, and I've heard nothing but terrible, terrible things about the room. So, while I personally am not the biggest Franco fan when it comes down to it, this one might have to get a watch. This one intrigued me.
Next up is The Shape of Water, and that's coming from Guillermo del Toro. And
Oh,
it's the I don't know if anybody's been seeing the trailers, but a lot of hype was garnered around it, making it feel like it was dealing with a specific creature from one of the Hellboy movies. But I don't know.
Abe.
I feel like if it hasn't been confirmed or denied, like Guillermo says that, oh, it doesn't really have anything to do with Hellboy. But it was he didn't answer yay or nay to it, is what I read. So,
I would seriously doubt it, to be honest with you.
I mean, like, especially since the reboot doesn't have him attached at all. He's not even consulting on it. So this is
Right.
going to be like its own little thing. So basically, it's an otherworldly fairy tale set against the backdrop of the Cold War era, circa 1962. in the hidden high-security government laboratory where she works, lonely Alyssa, played by Sally Hawkins, is trapped in a life of isolation. Alyssa's life is changed forever when she and a co-worker, Zelda, played by Octavia Spencer, discover a secret classified experiment. And the trailers have been looking really good for this film. It's been pretty much radio silence over the past couple of months about this film. Like, I saw one trailer maybe like a couple months ago. Haven't seen anything on TV. But it's Guillermo. I'll go see it. I mean, yeah, I'm down.
Yeah. I think I saw one. I saw the trailer either before, it was either before Justice League or it was before Thor. And it looked like an interesting movie. Most stuff set in the Cold War era doesn't really interest me all that much. You know, particular fan of those kinds of movies ultimately. But it you know, like you said, it's Guillermo del Toro who creates the coolest looking beasties ever in movies.
Yeah.
What was the one he was just set to do and he backed out of that? I was all excited when I first heard he was going to do it. Now I can't remember. Damn it.
Oh, what was it? I can't remember.
I can't remember. I know initially he was supposed to do the Hobbit trilogy before Peter Jackson took it back over, which would have been amazing.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Not that it wasn't good already. I mean, it wasn't great, I don't think. But if Del Toro had done it, just the look of the creatures would have been ridiculous.
Yeah.
Was Justice League Dark? Is that what he was going to do?
That's what he was going to do. It was Justice League Dark. Yep.
Justice League Dark, which with Guillermo del Toro at the helm doing a Justice League Dark movie, which is going to basically be demons and monsters. Come on. As long as you put Matt Ryan in there as Constantine, the movie's going to be a hit. It's going to be really, really well.
Come on, son.
Come on. Can't wait for that either. But yeah, it looks, I mean, curious. I don't know that I will necessarily myself go see this one in the theater, but I just might. It looks pretty interesting.
All I know, man, look, so folks, let me give you this little disclaimer now. I'm going to be in the movies crazy because I just got, and this is not even like an advertisement. I'm super hyped though, but I got this movie pass and basically I'm paying a monthly fee so that I could see a free movie. Well, it's not free if I got to pay a monthly fee. Yeah. I mean, look, it's not $20. Every time I go see a movie, I pay $10 a month and I get to see a movie every day. Like, that's winning. You know what I'm saying? So I'm definitely going to check out these movies, even movies that I don't want to see. But no, not really movies that I don't want to see. Because let's talk about this next one coming up. Wonder Wheel.
I haven't even heard of this till I saw it on here.
Yeah. So I mean, look, I am not a Woody Allen fan. I'm not. I've never been a Woody Allen fan. It doesn't really matter what movie that man's coming out with. I'm not interested. I just think he's not pulling me like other directors do. So I watched the trailer. You got Jim Belushi. You got what is her name? She was on that that Disney movie with George Clooney. Juno Temple.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, I think it's Juno. Yeah, it's Juno Temple. Yeah, she was on Tomorrowland. Yeah, she's in it. Justin Timberlake's in it. Jim Belushi's in it. Kate Winslet is in it. So the cast is okay. The cast is okay. I personally like Justin Timberlake as an actor. I think he's funny to me. I'm just like, I looked at it and I was like, oh, well, the names in here are enough to pull people. But I think I sold it when I heard that Woody Allen was doing it. I'm just not interested in anything he does. So I probably won't see it.
I'm not against Woody Allen. I'm not for Woody Allen necessarily. Like, I can't think of anything that I've seen. And I know he's done a lot of good movies in the past. He's done some very good comedies years and years ago that I haven't seen. I couldn't tell you how long. Lifeguard tells the story of a middle-aged carousel operator and his beleaguered wife. Just that there doesn't really gain my interest in any way. So this is probably one I probably won't see either.
Yeah, the trailer was so dry. It was so dry. I'm like,
we got 2 weeks till, you know, a galaxy far, far away. So
yeah, so none of this even matters.
It really doesn't.
Oh man. Cue the music.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. I got my ticket already, and so I'm definitely looking forward to seeing Star Wars, the next installment.
Strangely enough, I do not. I have to figure out when I'm going to go see it.
Oh, man.
Finagle something for that weekend.
Yeah, I have to bust somebody in the head for them tickets, man.
Well, if I try to make it, if I try to make it happen on a Friday morning, it's usually not too bad.
Oh, yeah, true.
So last time I tried doing it on a Friday morning was for Force Awakens, which I didn't put a lot of thought into before I realized it was the Friday before Christmas, which
Oh,
everybody was home.
yeah.
So I walked into a theater expecting to see not a lot of people, and it was packed to the gills. I'm like, oh, well, that was a bad idea. I don't know if this will be the same because it's 2 weeks before Christmas, so it might not be as bad. So we'll wait and see how this is going to play.
Yeah, here's
I
hoping.
will definitely see it that weekend, one way or another. Just when is the question?
Yeah, man. So there you have it. That's what's coming out this week. And a little bit even into the future, because Star Wars is something that needs to be talked about on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I mean that's it for us here at the boss's desk. So if you're tuning in for the first time, don't forget to follow us on all the various social media outlets. We're on Facebook at the boss's desk, Twitter at the boss's desk, YouTube the boss's desk, and we're on Google Play and iTunes now. You can subscribe to our podcast and follow us. We give you updates on a regular. If you have any questions about anything you heard in the show, or anything in the news at all, or even in the hot topics that we talk about, just send us your questions on Twitter. You can tweet us at the bosses desk, or you can send us emails at questions@thebossesdesk.com. And we'll get your questions, we'll take a look at them, and you might even hear us answer them or talk about it on the show. So yeah. So we'll catch you next time, guys. Hopefully we'll do something along the lines of talking about CW's Crisis on Earth X. Do a
Oh, I
little
can't wait to watch
review and
Crisis.
talk about that. That oh man, it's we got like what, a half hour and it's about to come on, so
Yeah, about 20 minutes. Yeah, it was those 2 episodes last night. First time you will ever hear me say these words. Supergirl was really good.
oh snap.
Those episodes were fantastic last night, so
Yeah,
I can't wait to
yo.
see how
Yeah,
this
it
ends.
was incredible. So yeah, we'll talk about those. We'll probably do a little post maybe tomorrow, sometime this week. We'll get you something.
We'll get something.
We'll take care of you. So yeah, that's it for us today, guys, and we'll catch you next time. So we're out.
See you.